This is a Flashbooks audio summary on The Happiness of Pursuit, Finding the Quest That Will Bring Purpose to Your Life, written by Chris Gilbo and narrated by Dean Bakari. The focus of The Happiness of Pursuit is essentially to provide you with guidance on how to discover your true passions and to follow your dream. A quick overview. The Happiness of Pursuit speaks to the timeless human impulse of self-discovery, the need for self-discovery. But its message is even more relevant in today's world, where so many people unthinkingly follow the herd by embarking on the traditional path of school, work, and family. Nothing wrong with that, but the author encourages people to set their own course and to devote themselves to their true calling. Quote, "Don't settle. Don't finish bad books. If you don't like the menu, leave the restaurant. If you're not on the right path, get off it." End quote. Chris Brogan. Big idea number one. Many people share the desire to embark on a life-affirming journey. What does sailing around the world have to do with spending a year living in a tree? Well, might have a lot more to do with it than you think. Both of these scenarios are quests. A quest, according to author Chris Gilbo, is a journey that heads toward a specific life-affirming goal. A key feature of a quest is that it includes various challenges and failures and pains, and of course, your ability to get back up and face them with courage. Here's a great example of a quest. Tom Allen was a young British graduate who turned down a dream job to go cycling around the world, despite the fact that he was inexperienced as both a cyclist and a traveler. He encountered many challenges along the way. Once, he was forced to navigate the Sudanese desert without a map. Another time, he caught malaria. But Allen confronted every challenge he encountered, eventually completing his quest. When he returned to England a year later, he was no longer the same naive young man he'd been before he started out. If his experience sounds appealing to you, that's because many people share the desire to go on a quest as well. For some, this desire manifests itself as a response to uncontrollable external factors. This was Sandy Wheaton's motivation. She embarked on a quest to document her journey on Route 66 after she was laid off from her job at General Motors. For others, like Laura Decker, a quest arises out of the desire for self-affirmation and discovery. Decker was born on a boat and spent her whole life sailing. Ever since she was 10 years old, she'd planned to become the youngest person to circumnavigate the world by sailboat. When people asked her about her motivation, she said, "I just love the sea and I wanted to do this for myself." Others pursue a quest as a way of taking a stand. Miranda Gibson, for example, spent more than a year living in a Tasmanian tree to protest illegal logging. Ultimately, quests are born from hard-to-shake ideas or urges and are typically intended to benefit either the individual or the wider world. A quest arises when an inner calling is set in motion by outside factors. As Bob Dylan once said in an interview with Rolling Stone, everyone has a calling. That is, everyone has a motivating passion that leads them to their own personal quest. It could be that you feel victorious when you find a superb piece of tuna, which is the case for Jiro Ono, owner of an award-winning Tokyo restaurant. Or perhaps your heart races when you see a vintage train. Whatever it is for you, when something consumes your attention, it's a good candidate for a life quest. Now, identifying your own passion isn't always easy. Sometimes we need a triggering event to get going. Some quests even arise out of discontent. As the author explains by using an equation or formula to clarify exactly how this happens. Here's the formula. Dissatisfaction plus big idea plus willingness to take action equals new adventure. For example, although Juno Kim had a stable engineering job in South Korea, she was dissatisfied and unhappy with her life. Her big idea? To leave everything and go traveling. Now, at that time, most backpackers were Western, but she was willing to break the mold. She took action and went on an adventure, eventually becoming an advocate for Asian female travelers. Sometimes a quest is triggered by a growing awareness of mortality. Once you start thinking about the end of life, you might start living every day as if it were actually your last. This was what bird enthusiast Phoebe Snetzinger experienced when she was diagnosed with melanoma and told that she only had 1 year to live. Realizing that there were still many, many things that she wanted to do with her life, she went ahead and started scheduling trips all around the world. Ultimately, she ended up with the world record for most identified birds. So, as you can see, quests arise when an inner calling is set into motion by outside factors. Let's move on to the next big idea. Believe in yourself and embrace rejection to stay motivated to complete your quest. Once you have a quest, how do you achieve it? Well, you need to believe in yourself because that's what's going to keep you going throughout all the tough and painful times and challenges. For example, classical music DJ Gary Thorpe spent 28 years trying to produce the longest symphony ever written, Abigail Bryan's Gothic Symphony. No one else saw the point, but he firmly believed that it would be worthwhile. Eventually, after many failed attempts, he managed to organize the concert, and it was a hit. One review called it a triumph beyond all expectations. Of course, when we believe in ourselves, sometimes we still need a little help to stay motivated. That's why it helps to divide your quest into manageable tasks or chunks. Steve Camp tried this method when he decided to change his boring life into a more exciting one. To help him reach his goals, he created a video game based on his journey, his epic quest of awesome. Every time he achieved 5 goals on the game, he leveled up. Then, the game would prompt him to embark on more complicated tasks. This enabled him to move on from smaller goals like getting fit to more complicated ones like piloting a stunt plane and learning Portuguese. Here's another way to stay motivated. Draw energy from rejection and failure. Jia Jiang shows how empowering it can be to use rejection as a motivator. Jiang spent 100 days trying to get rejected as many times as possible. For example, he went to a fire station and asked if he could slide down the pole. When people said no to these weird requests, he would simply move forward and make more requests, always anticipating rejection. For him, this process ended up being empowering. Why? Because if you aren't scared of rejection, you can try anything. Whatever your passions or personal circumstances, no quest is too big or too expensive. Quote, "You can't achieve anything deeply satisfying without a drawn-out process leading up to it. And yet, process demands goal." Don't have the money to realize your space travel dreams? No problem. No matter what your circumstances are, there's a quest for you. Even if you think you don't have the time for a quest, you can easily tweak your dream to make it fit your personal circumstances. For example, Sasha Martin from Oklahoma didn't have the means to travel the world, even though she really, really wanted to. Instead, she brought the world to her dinner table by embarking on a quest to cook a traditional meal from every country in the world. Oftentimes, you'll need to adjust your life to accommodate your quest. For Alan Bacon, Adjusting his life became his quest. He embarked on a series of life experiments, that is, small little changes oriented towards improving his life, his overall well-being. These were as simple as spending his lunch hour visiting a museum or enrolling in a photography class. Surely you can find similar small ways to change your own life. Of course, sometimes quests involve spending a little bit of moolah. So before you start, make sure you know how much your journey is going to cost you. And if it seems like it's going to be too expensive, consider breaking down the larger project into smaller, more affordable components. The author Chris Gilbell learned this when he realized that his dream quest, visiting all 197 countries in the world, would be impossibly expensive and time-consuming. But when he broke down the costs for the first 50 countries, what he realized was that traveling the world would only cost around $30,000, and it would take him about 5 to 7 years to complete. Even though he didn't have $30,000 lying around in the bank, he knew that if he lived frugally over the course of several years, it was possible to achieve his quest. So, as you can see, even if you're busy or even if you don't have much disposable income, you can find a way to complete your quest. All you have to do is set manageable goals and create a strategy for achieving them. Big idea number 6. Pursuing something you love is a reward in and of itself. Quote, "It's better to be at the bottom of the ladder you want to climb than the top of the one you don't." End quote. You might think that the ultimate point of embarking on a quest is the feeling of accomplishment you'll experience when you finally get done with it. But yet, this is not the whole story, because it's not just the end of the journey that's going to thrill you. It's also the process of the journey as well. As the author says, when you find something you love to do, you don't want to let it go. That's the ultimate appeal of a quest. It feels good to strive for something you love and believe in. This was independent musician Stephen Kellogg's experience as well. He grew up listening to Bon Jovi and playing air guitar in his room. When he first started his music career, things were tough to say the least, but he told himself, "It's better to be at the bottom of a ladder you want to climb than at the top of one you do not." He was glad to be aspiring towards his goal of becoming a real musician, even if he wasn't on top yet. People like Kellogg, who managed to turn their quest into their vocation, tend to share something in common. They are obsessed with what they do and are motivated to continually refine it. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that they enjoy every single day throughout the quest. After all, practicing the guitar for hours on end and hours a day can be lonely and it can be difficult. But they do find a way to get pleasure from the overall process. We can see this when we consider the careers of famous comedians like Jerry Seinfeld. Seinfeld has earned millions, and yet he still continues to practice new stand-up routines, often in small little venues. As Seinfeld demonstrates, when you really care about something and you really love it, you tend to keep it up. Because when you stop, you'll notice a deterioration in your skills. They'll break down like muscles break down when you stop working them out. So as you can see, although achieving a quest can be deeply satisfying, so is the process of refining your craft. Next big idea. If your life lacks purpose, you need to find your quest. Do you ever find yourself pondering the meaning of life and bemoaning your own lack of purpose? If yes, then you need a quest. Having a personal journey can give your life a sense of purpose, especially if your quest is directed towards a greater cause. This was Stephanie Zito's experience. After working in nonprofits for 15 years, Zito was disillusioned by the wasteful bureaucracy that she'd been witnessing. So, she set up a project called Give 10. She committed to donating 10 bucks a day to a cause of her choosing, as well as an extra $600 three times a year to charities other people recommended. Her quest wasn't only about giving, but also about discovery. It enabled her to discover many inspiring smaller charities, like a project called Lighter of Light, which created cheap lighting using plastic bottles or another sort of item that might be recycled that was initiated by a 5-year-old boy who sold paintings online to raise money for medical research. How unique. There's another aspect of quests as well that can be edifying, and that is failure. Failure. Now, this might seem counterintuitive, but failure can actually support our efforts because it gives us information about whether we're on the right path. For example, Mark Boyle wanted to walk to India, but lost his motivation early on after encountering language problems and barriers on the French coast. He returned to England disheartened and sad, and he couldn't stop mulling over this embarrassing failure. But after a good deal of contemplation, what he realized was that his worries derived from the fact that he'd pursued the wrong quest. He hadn't, as it turned out, really wanted to walk to India, but rather his true dream was to live a life without money. So instead of traveling to India, he embarked on a new quest. He spent a year surviving with no money by bartering and by working for shelter and sustenance. Today, he guides others who want to follow a similar path with his annual Free Economy Festival. For Boyle, going on a quest and failing at it was just a stage on the path to a sense of purpose. Big idea number 8. Quests can enhance your way of life in more ways than one. Many of us are fed up and bored with our lives, but a quest can change all that by transforming us and lifting us out of that boredom. Because ultimately, the journey itself, not just the end result, will make you more self-sufficient, more confident, and more empowered. This is what happened to Nate Dam, who experienced a complete personality change when he walked across the United States. Before his quest, he was shy in social situations and lacked confidence, but his journey forced him to overcome his timidity. Oftentimes, he had to knock on strangers' doors to ask permission to sleep on their properties. He came out of the experience feeling more confident and more independent. In addition to making you feel more confident, completing a quest can empower you. Once you've accomplished something, you can't help but wonder, what else can I do? How much more can I grow? For example, when the author ended his quest to visit all the countries in the world, he started thinking, there's nothing I can't do. This self-confidence was so constructive and empowering that he was inspired to take on new and greater challenges. This was also Sasha Martin's experience too. Martin set out to cook meals from all around the world. But over time, her quest assumed a greater meaning. She began spreading a message of peace via her blog, instigated by her culinary interaction with different cultures, at different schools, social occasions, and other events. Her perspective shifted from culinary to human, from personal to public. Ultimately, Sasha's story is typical of the nature of quests. Quests enable us to improve ourselves and others by allowing us to become more confident and by expanding our scope and perspective in the world that we live in. Next big idea. Once you've completed a quest, finding a new one will restore a sense of purpose within your life. Completing a quest is empowering, but it can also feel a little sad. If you feel directionless after finishing a project, Just know that the only way to stop feeling lost is to embark on another quest. However, before you do, take a moment to debrief and to reflect on what you've learned. For example, Alicia Ostervello gave up her apartment and all her possessions to go on 50 dates, one in every single state of the United States. She completed her quest, but was left with the question, what do I do next? Should I spend some time crashing at the houses of friends and family while I think about what I've learned? Or should I get straight back into the world of work? She chose to go back to work, and although she found a great job, it was the wrong choice for her. She couldn't focus properly because she hadn't processed what she'd experienced on her quest. So take your time. But once you've assimilated and processed the old quest, then you need to find another one. This will bring a renewed sense of purpose into your life. This was also the case for Scott Young, who had devoted 1 year to learning the 4-year MIT computer science curriculum. He spent 5 days of the week doing intensive study, one day earning money and one day resting. Although there wasn't much variation, he found the experience challenging and stimulating. And when he was finished with his quest, he found another. He decided to try a similar approach to learning languages. Before he could change his mind, he boarded a plane to Spain, and he spent the next year learning Spanish from scratch. So follow Scott's example. The best way to avoid feeling the drift of boredom and emptiness that will inevitably arise at the end of a quest is to find another one. Closing notes. Key takeaway: a quest is a path to happiness because it brings direction and purpose into our lives. Ultimately, the journey will transform you because you'll be actively confronted by new challenges. Instead of sitting slumped on the sofa all day and being bored with life, you'll be out there doing new things, learning new skills, doing what you're passionate about, and accumulating experiences and seeing new things, all in the service of a big, meaningful goal. A couple of actionable insights to leave you from this summary. If you aren't ready to make a big change, spend a week or so tinkering around with your life and thinking about things, and tinker around in small little beneficial ways. Consider getting rid of your television. Speaking to a stranger everywhere you go could be a really helpful way for you to broaden your horizons. Using your lunch hour to visit an art museum could really ignite the creativity that's embedded within you. These tiny little adjustments can change your life dramatically, and they can also motivate you to pursue more challenging and meaningful goals. Happy questing! This has been an audio summary from GetFlashNotes.com on The Happiness of Pursuit by Chris Gilbo, narrated by Dean Bakari.